All right, Joel chapter number 1, we're going to look at the first three verses here. Joel chapter number 1, the first three verses. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, "Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercies to us. Thank you for just the grace that you bestow upon us, Lord, that we don't deserve. We don't merit any of it. But Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you just for the good week that you've given us and just the small blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Thank you for the folks here this morning, and thank you for the young people and the adults that have came and on the buses and drove in. And Lord, I pray that you'd help the activities for today. I pray that you would just be honored in everything. Above all, Lord, I pray that some souls would be saved and that some lives would be changed. And Lord, we'll just give you the praise and glory for everything that's done. I pray that you just help me this morning. I pray that you just guide my lips. Help me only say what I should say. And help me to be a good ambassador for you. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you go down through verse number 4, it starts talking about, and I don't know, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time in Joel here. I'm just going to be quite honest with you. Some of the prophets, I really have a hard time wrapping my brain around. I was going to do Ezekiel next, but I'm going to need like 5 or 6 weeks just to prepare for Ezekiel, because I don't really quite understand, I don't know, all of the visions type things, if that makes sense. We're going to do Joel here and give me a few weeks for Ezekiel. But if you go into the book of Joel, it starts talking about, he talks about the day of the Lord coming, and he relates it to, there's also this in from verse number 4 down through probably 14 or so, and then 15 through 20. It's talking about a plague of insects that come and devours the land, okay? But I want to draw your attention to verse number 2 and verse number 3 specifically. And, you know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the word of the Lord in verse number 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel. And so I believe this is important. We may not ever always understand what the man of God here is saying, but it's important, so I think we should take attention to it and pay attention to it. But you know, you may not always understand why pastor preaches. Just a side note, sometimes I don't understand why pastor preaches what he preaches. Well, maybe it's not for you for that moment, but it's very well for somebody else for that moment, okay? And that's kind of the way we're going to look at here. But the Bible says in verse number 2, "Hear this, ye old men." Now, I'm not calling anybody old, okay? But this is the senior class, okay? This is the senior class. So I thought when I saw that, I was like, oh, if this says, "Hear ye this, ye old men," then I thought, that's probably for our class, all right? So we're going to look at what he told us to hear, all right? And he needed to like say that this was, he said this in a louder voice or something. But I actually have been preaching through Proverbs, or I've been teaching through Proverbs for the Master's Club kids. But you know, in Proverbs, it keeps saying, "My son, my son, my son." So every time it says "my son," we're looking at what Solomon is telling his son. And that's kind of what I'm doing in Master's Club. So kind of in the same way, hear this, ye old men, all right? Sorry. "Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your father?" Look at verse number 3. "Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation." I'm going to talk this morning about the importance of saving a generation. The importance of saving a generation. You know, it is important. We often, and I've preached or talked about this several times, is it seems like we lose a generation. You know, you've got a first, what we call first generation Christians. Brother Dively, it's good to see you this morning. Been praying for you, sir. Sorry. But we've got first generation Christians. And honestly, a lot of the folks here in this room, you're probably first generation Christians, or first generation that really served God with your life. Does that make sense? And I think probably a lot of folks in here, you're in that situation where you were, and if you're not first generation, you're no more farther away than second generation. Very seldom do you see the four and the five generation. For some reason, we lose that fourth generation almost all the time. And I don't know, not all the time, but by far and large, we lose the fourth generation. Sometimes we lose the third generation. Sometimes you may have seven. I mean, you go back there to see some of the missionaries, like the Johnson family. I mean, you've got how many generations of missionaries that are all serving God? So there are instances where it is a generational thing. But many times we do lose a generation. And it's hard to get that generation back. Okay? It's very hard to get that generation back. So we see here in Joel, though, that the Bible tells us to tell ye your children of it. And I want to talk about two different things this morning that I believe that are important in preserving the next generation, that is important in saving the next generation. And it both comes down to what you tell your children. What you tell your children. Number one, I want to talk about this. Tell your children of the trials. Tell your children of the trials. Okay? I think sometimes, you know, a lot of folks in here, like I said, are first generation Christians. God saved you out of something. Okay? Now, it may not be, you know, Brother Chad, I wasn't saved out of a terrible life of sin. Okay, but God did save you out of something particular. You lived a different life before than what you live now. You know, our kids, all they have known is this building. Okay, all they have, not necessarily this building particularly, but all they have known is they grew up in church. They grew up with their parents serving God. They don't know what it's like to not go to church on Sunday morning. They don't know what that's like. They don't know what it's like to, you know, wake up Saturday morning with, you know, a hangover from their parents. Some of you do. Some of you know what it's like to wake up in the morning and your mom and dad had, you know, from drinking the night before. Okay? Some of you know that. Well, you know, I think some of the problem that we have is I hate to say curiosity killed the cat, but they're curious because all they've ever known is the four walls here. So they're like, well, wonder what's, surely life out there is not that bad. You know, all they see is the commercial on TV, you know, the Marlboro Man. You know, they don't really have smoking commercials anymore. They used to. They don't have smoking commercials. Maybe they have vaping commercials now, but I don't. But drinking, alcohol, they still have a lot of alcohol commercials. That's a big advertisement. I mean, the Super Bowl, you know, one of the biggest advertisement things of the Super Bowl is alcohol. Well, they see the party side of it, but they don't see the drunk laying on the street side of it. Does that make sense? Amen. So you know what I think sometimes that we fail is, we don't tell our kids about, and I'm not saying, hey, you don't have to give them the nitty-gritty about stuff. They don't need to know that. But I think sometimes we fail in telling them the dangers of what we experienced in our life. You know where one of the places the children of Israel failed is they didn't tell their children about Egypt. They didn't tell their children about Egypt. They didn't tell about the taskmasters that would come out and beat them. They didn't tell them about that. They didn't tell their children about where they came from, okay? And I think they failed in that because then their kids didn't have appreciation for where they were at the moment. And the only way you appreciate something is to not have it for a while, okay? Well, our kids, they've always all had a good church that they can go to. I've always grown up, this is the only church I've known, except for the 4 years I was at Bible college, 3.5 years. This is the only church I've ever known. So for me to look out and not have this, I don't know what life is to not go to church on Sunday morning. I don't. But my dad knows what life was to not go to church on Sunday morning. Okay? I don't know what life is like out in the world. And honestly, I'm pretty happy being ignorant. But you know where we fail? I'm not, and you shouldn't go to your kids and say, well, yeah, life was really great before we got saved. Oh, that does a lot of good. You need to tell the truth. Was life really great before you got saved? Okay, I'm sorry, but if life was really great before you got saved, then what are you still doing in church? If life is so good out there in the world, then why do you come back to God? You know why? Because you need God. Amen. You need God. That's why you come back to God, is because you need God. Okay, so tell of the trials. Young people need to know where you came from and the heartache that was there. Pastor preached a message one time about Satan's back door. You know, Satan's got a beautiful front door, but he's also got a back door. And he'll kick you out the back door, and the back door, and when you get in his backyard, it looks nothing like his front door. Okay? And some of you, not all of you, but some of you have experienced the backyard of Satan, the backyard of the devil. And you need to warn the young people, not just your kids, but the young people. Hey, you know, if you see a young person going down the wrong path, you know, and I understand, well, Brother Chad, they don't want to listen to me. Okay, I understand that. Okay, but if you build, here again, it goes back to that building a relationship with a young person. If you build a relationship with them, you can approach a young person about things and they'll listen to you. Okay, but you got to have a relationship with them. Young people have a natural curiosity. I wrote this down. Don't try to relive your life through the life of your kids. Think about that just a second. Well, I've messed up in some areas, okay? Well, don't try to relive your life through the life of your kids. All right, think about that. I've seen people that maybe they've messed up in choosing a mate for life. Okay, I've seen this happen before. I had some friends in college that this happened to. It was unbelievable. And it was like the mom wanted to relive the dating courtship experience through the life of their young person, through their child. It's like, that does not make sense at all. Okay? But you know what? If you messed up, you ought to tell your kids, hey, this is an area I messed up in life. This is an area that you need to be careful about. Okay? So tell of the trials. You know, you should not only tell of the things that maybe that you've gotten from, that you were saved from, but you should also tell of the trials that God has allowed you to go through. Okay? I like it when Pastor gets up here and tells about how this church was started. Because you know what? These young people need to hear that. Because they just walk in and this building's always been here. They don't know of the men that sacrificed to put this building here. And you need to tell them about that. Relay that to them. So tell of the trials. Tell of the trials. Number two is tell of the triumphs. Tell of the triumphs. Young people also need to know your answers to prayer. They need to know that. I want you to go back to, I should have had you go here before, Judges chapter number 2. Judges chapter number 2. So tell of the triumphs, or tell of the trials, tell of the triumphs. Judges chapter number 2, verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel." You know what that is? That's this generation. You've seen God work. You've seen God do special things. So that's this generation, because you've seen it. Okay? Verse number 8. "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old." Hey, that's part of life, is dying. Okay? It's going to happen to all of us, me included. All right? Verse number 9, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Let me ask you something. Why didn't they know about the Lord and about the works that he had done for Israel? Why? Because their parents didn't tell them about it. Am I wrong? No. You guys are all sleepy this morning. It's all right. Pound on the pulpit. I mean, jumping jacks or something. I don't know.
Amen,
brother. That's right. But hey, why didn't the kids know about the God of their fathers? Because their parents didn't tell them about it. They just drug him to church, drug him to the tabernacle every Sabbath. And, you know, the kids would sit there, they'd watch the sacrifices, but they never told them about Egypt and where they came from. They never told them about the crossing of the Red Sea. They never told them about this stuff. Okay? So why should the kids serve God? They've never seen God work in their parents' lives. Why should they? They've never seen God work for themselves. And, on one side, I want to try to help our kids to see God work for them in their lives. And I'm trying. I would love to see a revival in the youth group. Hey, I would love to see a revival in Master Club age kids. It could start there. Okay? I would love for that there. But where's that desire that comes from that says, oh, we should do that? You know, when I was growing up in the youth group, I would hear about Paul Chapman and I'd hear about some of these others that went down to Mexico and they saw, and at some point there was a time in my life I was like, man, or I heard about, men that gathered and they prayed out here and about this property, and it's like, my generation can do that too. That doesn't have to stop with your generation. My generation. But the only reason I knew about that is because somebody told me about that. So you have to relay at some point, you have to relay the trials that there are. The things that you were saved out of. You have to relay that to them. Okay? How do you want them to go experience for themselves? Devil's backyard? Do you want that for your kids? Do you want that for the young people here at church? No. If you don't want it for them, well, how else? There's two ways. There's two ways you learn in life. And I think most of you will agree with me. You learn by doing, or you learn by from somebody else that has done. Is there any other way to learn? No. I learned my alphabet from somebody, from my mother, okay, who knew it. All right? I learned not to stick my finger in a light socket by doing it. I learned not to grab an electric fence by doing it. Okay, if you want the young people to learn, I'm trying to get this down to basics, okay? Because it seems like I'm scattered brain this morning, but if you want the young people to learn, what two ways? They can do it, or they can learn from somebody else that has done it. Well, I'm sorry, but sin is the same way. How do my kids learn the true consequences of sin? They can do it, which I don't recommend, or they can learn from somebody who has done it. If you don't want your kids to have an unhappy marriage, say, Richard, we've had an unhappy marriage or something's happened in our marriage, well, then maybe you should tell the kids about what they should look for, or the importance of marrying right the first time. Does that make sense? Okay. My dad told me lots of times, and sometimes they're just, us as young people are just going to be bullheaded. How many times did my dad tell me, or my mom, it was really more my mom, Chad, don't stick a screwdriver in the light socket or in the electrical outlet. No. But there's really cool flashes of light that happens when you stick a screwdriver in a light socket. Okay? It's really neat. You ever know that you could take Do you ever know that you could take Christmas lights, Christmas bulbs, and if you pinch the glass on them and break the glass, and then take the two prongs and stick them in an electrical outlet, it makes a really cool, like, explosion flash. I mean, it's awesome. Try it when you go home. And they're cheap. I mean, you get, like, 100 lights for, you know, a couple bucks. So you got, like, all these little explosions. And if you, like, plug the whole thing in, it's like, blows them all up. You know, the only way I learned that is by doing it. But, you know, the other way that, you know, I learned that, yeah, this carries a voltage that hurts is by doing it. But I don't want my kids to necessarily learn. Now, are they going to learn that way? Absolutely. And will I laugh at them? Absolutely. Okay? That's not wisdom. You know, wisdom says she's going to laugh at us when we do stupid things. So I can laugh at my kids when they do stupid things. But tell them about that stuff. Tell them about the bad things. Now, you don't have to go into, you don't have to tell them everything. But you should warn them about it. Don't just let them wander through life. If you see them going down the wrong road, say something. Okay? You know, some young people, they don't understand why we do certain things. They don't understand, you know, why do we dress a certain way? Tell them why we dress a certain way. They need to know why we do certain things. You know, there are several places in the Bible where it talks about that the children, that they were supposed to go tell their children about the, remember they lost in Ezra, they lost the feast. I forget which feast it was. They weren't doing the feast. Feast of Booth or something like that. But they had to build booths up on top of their houses, basically. And they weren't doing that. So they found that in the Bible, and they went back and they said, we haven't been doing this for years. Why not? Because it wasn't a generational thing. Parents hadn't transferred it. So tell of the trials, tell of the triumphs. Let me say this. Make some memorials. Make some memorials. What do you mean? Do you ever notice when something special happened in the Bible with the children of Israel that God many times, okay, remember when they crossed the Jordan? They said, and the priests were carrying the ark and they stepped down in the water and the water, they crossed the Jordan. Remember that? What did they tell them to do? They said, go back and take some stones, okay? I believe it was stones. And they said, you go and you build a memorial. Why? So that you could look back and see something that God, you know, so four generations later when the kids are playing down by the Jordan, Dad, what are these stones for? Well, son, sit down. Let me tell you what these stones are for. And, you know, that's important in our life too. Make some memorials. You should have some things that are, that God answered a prayer for you that you can go back and say, look, kids, this is something that, hey, you know, a picture. We took a lot of pictures on this youth activity. And you know what it is? As much as anything, you know, 10 years from now, you can pull out a picture and you can relive something based on a picture. You know, some of you stick pictures on your walls or whatever of different things. What about sticking, you know, taking a picture of something special that God done for you and sticking it on the wall? I know that maybe sounds kind of silly, but you know, every time you look at that, that what it's going to remind you of is the blessing that God gave you in that situation. That's just a very simple, that's a very basic. A memorial could be a lot of different things, but make some memorials. Make some memorials about different things. Tell the young people about the extraordinary things. The things that are like the wow, God did this in my life. Wow, God saved us from this. Or wow, God protect. Yes, tell your kids about that. Those are the crossing of the Red Sea type situations. Kids, you wouldn't believe. I mean, Moses stretched out his arms and the wind came. I mean, that was an exciting situation. But you know, you should not only tell your kids about tell the young people here at church, don't only tell them about the extraordinary, but also tell them about the ordinary. You know, the manna from heaven was an ordinary thing. The first day, it was pretty cool. The 100th day, oh, I got to go eat manna again. I mean, think about this. They were eating the same thing. Now, I like variety in life. You know, I don't want pizza. I like pizza. I love pizza. I don't want it every night, though. Okay? I love chocolate chip cookies. But I like cornflake cookies, too. You know what I mean? I like variety. So at some point, the children of Israel will be like, oh, manna. Again? Quail? Oh, I'm sick of quail. Okay? You know, sometimes we tell the kids about the big things that God's done for us, but what about the day-to-day blessings that God gives you? Yeah, tell the kids about the Red Sea experiences, but also tell them about, you know, how God provided your needs every day, day in, day out. Convey to them the excitement of walking with God. Serving God should not be a drudgery. If you make serving God a drudgery to your kids, do not be surprised if they don't serve God. You know, one of the things, yeah, we did this crazy teen activity. We started at 5, okay? I told the kids that we're done at 9:30. We were here till almost 11, okay, playing ball. And some of you are like, oh, I can't believe you have the kids out that late. Hey, listen, you can knock me all you want, but you know what those kids, they were having fun doing something that was right. Why shouldn't I let them have fun? You know, the ministry, some of us is like, oh, you know, all we've ever had is, you know, beans and rice, and that's all we've ever eaten because we're in the midst. Yeah, what kid wants to go do that with their life? You know, God's blessed me, and I want to be a help to our young men. I'm in the ministry, okay? I'm kind of a weird, oddball ministry kind of person, okay? That's just my nature. But God's allowed me to do some things. And you know what? I want these young men to say, you know, hey, Brother Chad, yeah, he served God, but he has a blast doing it. Okay? Why shouldn't you have fun? There's nothing, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't have fun serving God. But to look at some people's faces, you would think that. Seriously. I'm not just being facetious. You should smile some. Okay, in all seriousness. Why should some of our young people look up and say, oh, I want to serve God with my life because so-and-so serves God? You look like you have a lot of fun at church. Are you a blessing to be around at church? Or does everybody avoid you? I told some of our kids, I said, you need to find somebody in church that you can never get to smile. And you need to make it your life goal to get them to smile. And some of them are really probably trying to do it. Have fun serving God. There's nothing wrong. Do you go through trials? Yes. We all go through trials. Do you go through triumphs? Yeah. Those are the great days. But you know what? When people come to church, I don't want to be a grump. I'm a grump most of the time anyway. But I shouldn't be at church. Okay? That teen activity, I had one of the bus girls come. She was so, I mean, she had so much fun. It was written all over her face that she was just excited about it. And you know what? It's like, you know, this could be, that teen activity on Friday night could have been a turning point in her life. Because she saw, it wasn't that she just came to church. Should you come to church and should you sit like, you know, like you're supposed to and listen? Yes. But she saw that this is not just coming to church and doing this. This is also going out here and having a blast. You know what the taco fiesta is today? Having fun at church. I just can't go be a part of that. Yeah, and your kids will want to serve God. I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just trying to tell you, give you a reality check. Okay? Make serving God fun. I think it ought to be. You say, Brad Chad, why in the world did you have... my dad knows Mr. Zimmerman. Lives over there by... kind of over on Powder Mill Road. And he lived right beside your guys' property. And he was sitting at Dollar General the other night when we were doing this thing. So I go up to him. I said, Mr. Zimmerman, can my boys sit in your truck with you? He's funny. Well, they don't want to sit in here. They'll break the springs, you know. And I had like four or five boys pile in the back of his pickup truck. And then when the bus was pulling out, because we had Grumpy from Snow White, that's the statue that we had, all the kids hid on the bus. And they passed Grumpy from seat to seat, singing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. And you know what? Those kids, they loved it, every bit of it. And you know what he did? He just sat back and just laughed. But you know what? Those kids could probably go up to him and tell him about Jesus now. He'd probably listen to him. Hey, you know, you can have fun. Well, we got a image to keep. Yeah, of what? What image are you trying to be? Okay, go count your rosary beads at some point. Seriously. I mean, really. Have fun. And you should have fun. And you know, but Chad, I'm just too tired to have fun anymore. Okay, but you should relive some experiences and tell your kids, man, you wouldn't believe what, I don't know how many times my dad's told me about taking teens on a canoe trip and then flipping canoes over in the water, and that's like my, I gotta top that teen activity. I have to top it, okay? But we want to have fun. And you know, it comes to what do you portray serving God as? Is it a drudgery? Are you a grouch? Sometimes I'm grouchy, but when I come to church, I really try to, whatever burden I carry, I've tried to put it off to the side and be a blessing to somebody. Be a smile. Kid with the kids. Okay? And then tell them, hey, this is the good life. This is the high life. As some alcohol commercials want to say, that's not the high life. This is the high life. So I'm going to tell them about the low lives, but I'm also going to tell them about the high life. And I want to help them to have fun. And, you know, I think the children of Israel, they lost some generations there because they got content with the blessings that God gave them in the land of Israel. And they didn't tell their kids about where they came from. And at some point, I don't think that they, serving God was real to them. They didn't have fun doing it. Hey, have fun. Brother Chad, like I said, oh, hey, I get it. You're tired. Nobody wants to be here this morning. Nobody wants to listen to me. That's fine. Okay? But at least I'm having fun up here. I don't know. Maybe nobody else is having fun. I'm about to have a blast. I mean, I'll be the biggest kid out there. Okay? But you know what? Goes back to relationships. Relationships. I can have a blast out there with the kids. I can snap my fingers, and if they're doing wrong, they know exactly who I'm talking to, and they'll obey immediately almost. Okay? I'm all for having fun. You know, listen, I don't let my kids run through church. Okay? If you see my kids running through church, any of you have permission to trip them. Okay? I don't care. Just stick your cane out. Bam! It doesn't matter. I won't get, because they shouldn't be running in church. Okay? I try to keep, but I also go out almost every church service and I'll play volleyball or octoball. If you've never played octoball in your life, it will change your life forever. I don't recommend it for anybody in here because it really will change your life, probably for the negative. Okay? But octoball, we'll play octoball for a couple hours after church. Church should be fun. Church should be something that these kids look forward to coming to. Okay? But you know what? These kids go out every Wednesday, and go soul winning. What have you done? So if they're going out every Wednesday to go soul winning, why shouldn't I have a teen activity for them every once in a while? Okay? We come back at 6 o'clock. I know I'm kind of rambling, but we come back at 6 o'clock and we do a teen training hour. That's what we've been doing. So they're not out visiting for very long. And you know what? Sometimes we'll do out there. Last week, it was raining on Wednesday, and I didn't cancel visitation. I said, we're still having visitation. So we head out, and I go to Fry Street Apartments. It was raining. We do Fry Street Apartments, like, in 15 minutes, because I got 12 kids. It's like one apartment per kid. And we come back, and we did, like, 2 hours of scavenger hunts all over the church. So if something's missing, the kids probably took it, okay? And then we sat down and I told them about how they need to let God control their mind and how they need to let what they think is going to affect how they feel and how they feel is going to affect how they act. So they need to be careful about how they think because it'll affect how they feel, which will affect how they act. But they still had fun doing it. Okay? Tell your kids, relay that to them, that it's a good life. It is the high life. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I want to do this for my kids. I want my kids to, this should be their favorite place to come. This should be where their friends are. This should be where life is good. And Lord, we can make it that way if we will. And Lord, I pray that we would also tell our young people about the dangers that you have, that the devil has out there, the traps that he has. Lord, I would rather my kids to learn from somebody else's bad experience than to them learn from their own bad experience. And Lord, I pray that we would be conscientious of this and just try to relay that to our young people. Lord, I love our young people. I love the older folks here. Lord, there's so much wisdom. I've got many what I consider good friends that I can go talk to and I can fellowship with. And thank you for that. Pray that you just bless us. Help us today. Pray the activities to follow. Help pastor as he preaches. Lord, I pray that if souls here are not saved, that they would be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.